Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today it is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Today's show is brought to you by Sonos. The perfect holiday gift is a new Sonos speaker. Go check them out, Sonos.com, today. On today's show, we're going to look across the landscape of Big 12 coaches and see really who is safe and who is not, who could be on the move to a different job. Is there anybody left who is, you know, in risk of being fired? We're looking at all that today. Also look at some basketball notes as well from Big 12 men's basketball. That's coming up on today's show.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, I am Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. And then there are a lot of you all who are becoming newer to the show right now via YouTube, or you're just listening on Apple, Stitcher, or Spotify. Those are the ways you can find us in the audio realm. If you want to find us on YouTube, we are available there as well. Just look up Locked On Big 12 and you can find us there. You can find me on Twitter at Josh Neighbors _. Also, you can find the show at LO Big 12. All right, so I have made a little bit of kind of a graphic that's going to help us kind of go through the things that we're going to do today, because I'm breaking up the Big 12 in three sections. There are the teams that I know for sure are going to make a coaching move. There is one. There are teams that might have to make a coaching move. I have four of them. And then there are teams that are safe, and I have five of them. And so there are different kind of contexts and factors that have gone into me making this list. Right now, there are a collection of jobs available, and I'm using the tracker that SI has: LSU, USC, Florida, Virginia Tech, TCU, Washington, and Washington State are all jobs that we know are out there right now that have not been filled. But the big thing is, look, not all of these schools, and I would venture to say maybe a majority of these schools, are not going to go the coordinator route to handle those hirings. So if they go head coaches, you know, current head coaches, that could have some impact on the Big 12. Even if they do go coordinator, a guy like an Alex Grinch, right, could be a candidate somewhere else. But it just shows you that, you know, there's so much speculation right now. There's so much, uncertainty right now in the coaching world. And a lot of teams are pulling the trigger, and there are honestly, you know, a few more that might before the end of the year. So this is the graph I made. Let's go with Big 12 first, and then we'll kind of touch on those other jobs. So I've got safe potential and move coming, all right? Move coming, TCU, because we know they have fired Gary Patterson, all right? So let's just start there. That one's the easiest one to check off. In the safe realm, now no job is 100%, right? No job is, we can't guarantee that coaches aren't going to move from a certain place. But the ones that I feel pretty confident about: Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. Now, obviously, Texas Tech is, Joey McGuire is there. That's not going to change, right? So that there you go. That's for sure. Kansas, Lance Leipold, unless somebody else comes calling. And I even think if they did, I don't think Lance would leave. It doesn't really seem like that's kind of his style. I mean, you go to Kansas, you know, you want to be in Kansas, that you've made that decision to go there. I'm not trying to disparage Kansas, but obviously we know where that program is in terms of, you know, where it's been and where it wants to go. And, he's done a great job getting those two wins this year and being competitive in the game against Oklahoma, being competitive in their most recent contest against TCU. So obviously the right track there. Texas Tech, we already handled. Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, you know, if somebody wanted to come along and say, you know, hey, Mike Gundy, come somewhere else, but he is synonymous, right, with Oklahoma State football. He is Oklahoma State football in many ways, right? It feels like he is the guy that's going to be there. He's going to stay there for a long time. So I'm not too worried. Now, could an LSU come and say Mike Gundy? And I don't think they would, you know, come here. Could they, I don't know who else, Florida, you know, maybe come say Mike Gundy, come here. Sure, maybe. I doubt it, right? I mean, I don't think any of us believe that that's how it's going to play out, right? So I think he's pretty safe. West Virginia, obviously not the year Neil Brown wanted, but they've still got a chance to make a bowl game. And I don't think West Virginia would want it. And they just gave an extension too. I don't think West Virginia would want to enter into the coaching market right now, given how crowded it is, right? It's not a position I think they'd like to be in. I don't think that makes a lot of sense right now for West Virginia. So I think those four schools, I don't see making any moves, right? Five schools. Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, West Virginia all seem pretty set. Now, obviously nothing is set in stone in this sport, but I feel like we're all pretty confident in saying those jobs are currently safe. In the potential category, let's get to those in 1 second. First, a quick word here, though, from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by our new friends over at NetSuite. We appreciate them for sponsoring the Locked On Podcast Network. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. On your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. That is LOCKEDONNCAA for a special end-of-year financing deal right now. netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends at PrizePicks. It's the best way to play daily fantasy in college sports. You can go there right now. It is available in most states. Download the app. And if you guys use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Just make sure you use that promo code Locked On. They've got any kind of prop you want. They've got overs and unders for yards, touchdowns, interceptions, rushing yards, all those kinds of things you can find. So once again, go download the app today, Prize Picks, and use that promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On today. All right, so let's get to the potential category. Let's start with the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, I know there is a lot of consternation. There is a lot of talk about Lincoln Riley right now. I know a lot of people feel like that they're, and especially people around Oklahoma, feel like this conversation is not warranted. And we had a debate last week about which job is going to, is better, Oklahoma and LSU. So I heard Bud Elliott say it today. He believes, he's with me, that LSU is a better job in Oklahoma. That's where I come down, at least, on this situation. I think some of us also do, too. I'm going to reiterate this again. They are both awesome jobs, but LSU is a place where three separate people won national championships the last 20 years. Nick Saban won one. Les Miles won one. Ed Orgeron won one. I think there are questions about the competence of two of those coaches. And because of that question of competence, I would say this job attracts so much other talent, right? The talented players, the transfer, good talented transfer players, the good coordinators, right? Dave Aranda and Joe Brady on that staff, as coordinators, for Ed Orgeron when they won their championship. We see how talent rich Louisiana is as a high school football state. It is one of the best in the country. It's also got access to states like Georgia and Florida and Texas and Mississippi, right? All of those states are within reach of them there in Louisiana. It's a great location. We know it's fertile recruiting ground. Obviously, I think Oklahoma's best argument in this particular argument is, hey, we're not in the SEC. Well, guess what? They're going to be. Now, I know I think that they believe that helps them, but also the level of competition that they play right now is lower. So if you're judging a job by the potential to win championships, it's a bit easier at Oklahoma to win Big 12 championships, conference championships. And I know there's no division in the Big 12, but division championships, if there were divisions, it would be easier at Oklahoma because of how the conference is. It's not the SEC. The SEC is the best football conference in America. So it might help with the recruiting, but is Oklahoma going to be able to continuously, repeatedly out-recruit LSU? I've got my doubts. They have at times, but not a consistent clip have they out-recruited, especially the last 5 years. You can go look at it. They've not out-recruited LSU. I think they have 1 year where they did. I think it's like four last five that LSU has had a better has had a better recruiting class. And I haven't looked much past it, but I, you know, I think the numbers probably bear it out that LSU's is a bit better. Second part of this, in my opinion, is that if Lincoln Riley falls short against in Bedlam against Oklahoma State, questions can be asked, like, where is he going next? Like, you know, do you stay at Oklahoma? I know they're going to the SEC, and I know Joe Castiglione's shown him a lot of faith and shown a lot of, promise towards him, you could say. Do we really think that it's going to be like, you know, any different moving forward? Is there any hope of that? I don't believe there is. There's hope, but there's not like a tangible path. They thought they were going to have a defense this year. While their defense has played much better, it's not been at a consistent level where it looks like some of the better SEC defenses that we see. Just not athletic enough. Sometimes they can get tossed around up front. And it was not the defense that we thought was promised. And honestly, they look small up front. They're a little bit slimmer up front than you know, a traditional Southeastern Conference team would be, even this year with a lot of those guys. And I know Jalen Redmond's a big fella, right? But, you know, the guys up front, they aren't the biggest. They aren't the most athletic. They don't all look like, you know, these I always call them the guys are aliens that they bring in some of these other schools, right? You know, they don't even say they have a guy like an Aiden Hutchinson, right? You know, kind of just horse off the edge. It's crazy, super effective. You know, it doesn't feel like they have those kinds of guys at a semi-often clip. And so I would say, if you fail in Bedlam and you don't go to a Big 12 championship game, like, this felt like a team where that was kind of the expectation was expectation was a playoff. That's what the expectation was, and potentially winning a Nash championship. You know, it could potentially still be in reach. That could still be in reach. Doesn't feel like it. And while they might be alive in the playoff hunt, a loss this weekend would not just take the playoff away. It would take a Big 12 title out of the way. And I would be asking a lot of questions if I was Lincoln Riley. You know, I think he can win a title, absolutely, at LSU. I don't know if he can win one at Oklahoma. I really don't know. Because at what point, when Oklahoma's been up against elite competition, have they shown us that on a certain day they could be better? The Georgia game is the one example where that game could have gone either way. If you want to make that argument, totally fair. But there's really no other consistent time where you can say towards the back end of a season where it's elite versus elite that Oklahoma got the job and they got smacked against Alabama. Obviously they had that, you know, they got destroyed against LSU. And right now in November, while I know this is Lincoln Riley's best month, that team does not look like it's firing all cylinders. The defense stood up this week and the defense helped secure that game, but the offense was not there against an underperforming Iowa State team. I would say that version of Iowa State, they give Oklahoma their best shot. They're still just not the team that we thought they were going to be, so it's not a great barometer. That's what I would say at this point. Like, I think Lincoln Riley just gets another raise at Oklahoma. But if I was him, I think there are some considerations you have to make. If LSU extends that offer, and if it's that dollar figure that we saw flying around, then I've got no clue whether it is or not, but he's got to at least entertain that. And I believe that there's probably been a conversation that's had. How it's going, I don't know. A lot of people seem to think he's staying at Oklahoma. I understand that. I'm just talking about the factors that would lead me, if I was him, to consider LSU, and I think it's being talked about across the board by a lot of people. I know the competition's stiff in the SEC West, right? They're last place behind Auburn and Mississippi State, who are not having, you know, the best years, right? Ole Miss, who's having a really nice season. Alabama's not even in peak form, and they gave Alabama a good run. But, like, you know, the competition's tough, but in a down year, they've been bad. Like, it hasn't, like, that, you know, it's not like they haven't been competitive at all, right? And we know that a person, the right person at LSU, can help them kind of get to a certain point where they can be competing for championships. So I would say Lincoln Riley, it's got to be talked about. I still think it's got to be discussed. Do I think it's going to happen? No. At this point, I don't. But I think we have to at least be discussing it. All right. The next team I had. So I know Baylor fans aren't going to like this, but Baylor is there, right? They've got to be, because you think about the jobs that are available right now, right? You got to think about Florida, Virginia Tech, TCU. Out of the available jobs, right? LSU, definitely, I think they should give them a call. If you listen to the show at all, I have been saying this for months. I actually have been saying this for months. Maybe I was saying it a bit prematurely, but I think it's the right move to make a call. USC, I think definitely USC is going to have interest in Dave Aranda. I think there's no doubt about that. You look at the rest of the jobs, and I really don't see that kind of happening. I don't think Florida, Florida doesn't make much sense to me. Virginia Tech does not make much sense to me. TCU does not make much sense to me. Washington, potentially, because it's West Coast. Washington State, to me, no, that'd be a downstep. But, I don't see him thinking about those other jobs. The three jobs I would say that would consider Dave Aranda and should consider Dave Aranda, in my opinion, is USC, LSU, and then also Washington. I don't see him at Florida. So those schools, I think, are going to give Dave Aranda some serious consideration, and we'll see what happens on the Baylor side of things. But look, there is nobody who has done a better job with the adaptation of to his roster, to his own mistakes, than Dave Aranda from year one to year two. He has been a coordinator on a championship team. He has been a coordinator on one of the teams that is currently looking for a head coach. If you strike out on Jimbo, if you strike out on Lincoln Riley, there is no shame, I think, in hiring LSU. And if there's anybody who is going to be kind of the anti-Ed Orgeron and not buy into all of that crap, that the off-the-field crap, right, and the talking to fans, and, you know, whatever else you want to throw in there, it's going to be Dave Aranda. Now, not saying 2019 wasn't a fun, amazing season, and Coach O deserves a lot of credit for kind of pulling that culture and getting those guys together. But like on a day-to-day basis, year-to-year basis, I trust consistency more to a guy like a Dave Aranda. Not going to win you the press conference. He's going to win you football games. That's what it seems like Dave Aranda's got right now. So I would definitely consider. So I think we have to look out. Baylor could be in the market, depending on how things go in that situation. Also, Iowa State, you know, for me, I thought this was I thought Matt Campbell potentially was going to leave next year. And then I thought about, obviously, all he had returning. You know, this should be the year that he stays. I don't think the lack of success this year is going to hurt his stock too much. I don't believe it will. I don't believe it should. I still think people believe he is a really good football coach. I would be looking at, it seems like right now Penn State's going to make a commitment. Bigger financial commitment, that is, to James Franklin to keep him there. And that was a job that I think I'd be eyeing. Does Virginia Tech believe they can make a play for Matt Campbell? I don't know. You know, I think maybe Matt Campbell would say, I'm good, potentially, and stay in Ames. We know TCU kick the tires. I don't see that working. Does Florida make that play? I know the odds makers believe they might. But right now it seems like Billy Napier could be that leader in the clubhouse for them. Does USC make an overture right now to Matt Campbell, right? Is that something that we could see happening? Matt Campbell's going to be talked about, and he might be on the move, and I think it's the right time because this is unless he revamps and gets a whole other team there and develops those guys, this is kind of – they've kind of topped out. Last couple of years was them topping out because, I mean, they got a guy, you know, Breece Hall is one of the best three running backs in the country in most people's opinions. You know, you got a guy in Brock Purdy who didn't perform all that well, but it's kind of as old as you're going to get a quarterback, right? Two awesome tight ends in Allen and Kolar, good wide receiver in Hutchinson, an awesome defense with veterans all over the place. And they lost Shaquan Bailey, obviously, that hurts. But for them, it was still, they were able to put together a decent defense at times this year. It's going to be a lot of work at a place like Iowa State to maintain that kind of success. And I believe he's destined for another job. This would be the time. I know Iowa State fans kind of get tired of me saying this. I think now is the time, though, that Matt Campbell jumps ship. I don't know where that is. Is it a job that is open right now? I'm not sure. Is it a job that might become open, right? I know he's not necessarily have a bunch of ties to Auburn, but what if Auburn becomes open? Because I feel like that is a potential as a possibility right now. What if Lane Kiffin goes to, what if Lane Kiffin ends up going to Florida or Miami, right? And Miami obviously is one of those jobs, not open, but the way people talk about it, it feels like it is open right now. So all of those are in play. I see Matt Campbell being on the move. This one feels like the most likely to me. Him and Aranda, I would say one and two. And then I would say third, I would go, I would say Aranda, Campbell, Riley. And then fourth one we have on here is Steve Sarkisian at Texas. I don't think – I'm on record. I don't think they should hire Sark. I am not a believer in that at all. All right. Not a believer in that. I don't think we should fire Sark. But we know how impatient they do get down there. I just think it's another situation where Texas views themselves very highly, but they would crap on other recruiting class, and they've got a good one coming in. And this, to me, is going to be a process. It's a cultural process. Just see if Sark's the guy. So what if it takes a couple extra years and it doesn't work out, right? So what? Like, you've got to give this guy some time to see if he can build and fix and maintain things. You're going to get Bijan Robinson back next year. You're going to get Xavier Worthy back next year. They're going to hit the transfer market, in my opinion, go and get a quarterback. So there's a whole lot of factors at play at Texas, but I don't think they should pull the plug yet. But I have them in potential because you never know at Texas. You really never know at a school like that. And then TCU, obviously, is our last one. They're going to make a move. It feels like at this point in time, Sonny Dykes is a done deal. I don't think he's lost any steam since the team at SMU has not done as well. I think it's still a very good fit just because of the area. And I think Sonny Dykes makes a lot of sense at TCU. So we'll see how those things play out. But obviously, more jobs could come open. That could shift things around. But there are four teams, in my opinion, right now, Oklahoma, Baylor, Iowa State, and Texas, I'd be looking at to say, hey, if there is a coaching change, I would assume it's going to come from that four schools. And it's not going to be them firing, the exception of Texas. It's not going to be them firing. It's going to be them losing the coach because he's going to go take a job elsewhere. And obviously, TCU is another job we might see filled. All right, one more quick break, and then we'll get to a couple college hoops notes to round out the show. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today. They've got all the scores and odds you could hope for. They've got odds on which coaches will be going to what places next. Those are always fun to look at and investigate as well. So go check that out. You go to betonline.ag today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. It's LOCKEDON, Locked On. You'll receive a 50% deposit bonus upon your first deposit. It's betonline.ag. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. All right, let's get to a couple college basketball notes. So a fast start to the year. Obviously, it's feast week now, which is always a lot of fun. And let's just see where the Big 12 teams are right now. Kansas, to me, has been the most impressive team all year. They haven't played a ton of great teams, but I think, with what we've seen with them at 4-0, 3-0, they look pretty solid. Iowa State, 4-0, nice to see them getting off to a better start. Baylor, their title defense, off to a 4-0 start. Mark Adams has his group at 4-0 at Texas Tech. Oklahoma's 5-1. They had the one loss that came for them against a decent Utah State team. Oklahoma State's 5-1. Oklahoma's 4-1. TCU got smashed by a Santa Clara team. I actually think people believe it's going to be pretty good. West Virginia's off to a 4-1 start. Texas, 3-1. Their lone loss comes to Gonzaga on the road, so you can't really blame them. And then I thought Kansas State made a really good accounting of themselves last night against Arkansas. So obviously something to watch there. They're going to play Illinois tonight. So a pretty difficult tournament for them in the early season, but keep an eye on that. All right, make sure you follow us on Twitter, at LO Big 12. You can follow me personally, at Josh Neighbors _. You can find us Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Find the show also YouTube. Just look up Locked On Big 12. All right, that will do it for us. Till next time, stay safe.